Beverly State Representative Jerry Parasella is joining us here on MSO News Sports. And Jerry, welcome. Thanks for taking time to check in with us again here.
Always great to be with you, Bill. Thank you.
And since the last time we talked, you have added a little portion of Wenham to your district. So it's not just Beverly State Rep Jerry Parasella. It's you've also got a tiny bit of Wenham in the district as of now, right?
Yeah, every 10 years when the census is done, they have to redistrict all the reps' seats. So there's 160 reps. So everybody had to pick up about 2,000 people. So I picked up half of Wenham, and Rep. Kearns has the other half. So now I represent about 2,000 people in Wenham.
Oh, okay. So it is about half the town. All right. I got it. Okay. Well, let's begin with the budget. I know it's not the most exciting thing for everybody to be listening to here, but yet it is clearly coming down to the end here on budget season. This is the big month, the month of June. So where are we at with the state budget at this point?
Yeah, so the House passed its version of the budget in April, and then the Senate did theirs about 2 weeks ago. So now there's a committee that gets formed. There's three members from the House, three members from the Senate, and they work to hash out the differences. I mean, there's some things that have to be worked out. I mean, in general, the money total budget amount was about the same. So there's got to be some things got to be worked out. But as you mentioned, this fiscal year for the state starts in July 1st, so you try to get it wrapped up by then. If it doesn't, then we can sort of do these called temporary resolutions. So it's not like this crazy stuff that was happening in the federal government where they were saying that, you know, we default. Nothing like that will happen in Massachusetts. You would be allowed to keep going until we get a final resolution. But there were a couple of good things in there for Beverly. For example, we got $14.5 million for the Beverly schools, which was about $1.4 million more than last year, and like $6.8 million for unrestricted local aid. So that's anything that city wants to use that money for. It could be police, fire, parks, recreation, things like that. And I got some money, $250,000 for the city to help do some work on Elliott Street, because that's becoming more crowded because of the bridge closure, the Hall Whitaker Bridge. So people have to divert to Route 62 Elliott Street. So this would help do some upgrades there, and also some money, $200,000 for some parks in the city of Beverly to upgrade those. And Wenham, we got $50,000 for the fire department to upgrade their communications equipment. So, you know, the budget is sort of this big amorphous thing, but, you know, when you sort of narrow it down to what it means to the local communities, you know, it helps with the schools, police, fire, and things like that.
Well, Jerry, with the Hall Whitaker Bridge construction and that bridge closed, I mean, Elliott Street does not need any more traffic at any time of the day, I don't think, does it? Man.
No, it's very busy. It's very busy in the Hall Whitaker Bridge situation. It's frustrating for so many people. I mean, we essentially got one day notice that the DOT was going to close it, because they did they do these inspections, but then this time they did a really deep dive, and basically they said it's got to the point where it has to be shut down. They didn't feel it was safe for cars to be driving over there anymore. So the DOT is working on some plans to come up with a replacement. There's going to be a community meeting end of June, where the DOT will talk to the residents about what their proposals are. Right now, it looks like there'll be a temporary bridge that would go parallel to the current bridge. Then they'll tear down when the temporary bridge is completed, they'll tear down the current bridge, and then they'll redo the Kernwood Bridge. That has to be done over as well. So it's going to be a while, unfortunately, for folks in that area dealing with either one bridge or another being shut down. They're both, you know, at least 100 years old, just about. So, you know, they had to be replaced. We knew that. Unfortunately, there just came a situation where they felt it was unsafe to keep the Hall Whitaker Bridge open. So,
at this point, yeah. And Jerry, the construction time period is also a concern, obviously, to residents, as it will take. I guess it's been a moving target as to how long that construction will take, but that's to be determined, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, at first they said 13 years for both, which I think just got everybody really upset, and I don't blame them. It just seems crazy to me that it would take that long. I think they're trying to speed it up. Some of the issues have to do with getting approval from the federal government, the Coast Guard, and the Army Corps of Engineers. If they could do a fixed span bridge at the Hall Whitaker Bridge, I think that would speed things up, but it's to be determined because there is a yacht club down the Bass River, and also some folks are saying that that's sort of an emergency escape route if there was like a hurricane or something like that, and the boats would be able to go in there to kind of have safe harbor. So things are trying to be worked out, and there's also some environmental regulations like fish spawning, which means that there's certain periods of time they can't do construction. So those are all kind of the challenges that are being dealt with to replace the bridge.
All right, let's just jump back to the State House here. You've got you're the chairperson for the Joint Committee on Economic Development and Emerging Technologies. So, and this is with the time when hearings are all beginning and firing up again, or have been for quite a while, actually. But what is happening in that committee that so far, you know, right now in June?
Yeah, so like you said, we have started the hearings. We did one hearing about 2-3 weeks ago. We got a couple more scheduled. So last session, the committee is kind of a varied jurisdiction. We get everything from life sciences to gaming. So I helped draft a sports betting bill that legalized sports betting in Massachusetts, and that's been going really well. So there were a number of bills to kind of like tweak the sports betting landscape. But so far, if I can just kind of talk about the sports betting situation, it's been going really well. I mean, there was some discussion about how much money would the Commonwealth take in, and, you know, some folks were saying that it'd probably be $50 to $60 million. But actually, in the first 2 months alone, the Commonwealth's taken in about $20 million. So I think the projections of the actual dollars coming in are higher than the projections. And plus, every entity that gets a license has to pay the Commonwealth $5 million. So just the licensing fees alone will probably bring in about $70 million. And then the sports bets themselves, looking like it could be $80 to $90 million. So people love their sports in Massachusetts. Unfortunately, the Celtics and Bruins are out now, so that could affect it a little bit. But, you know, when football season comes, I think it'll be, you know, booming again. And it's good for the casinos because they have the sports books now, so it brings people in. And if people are betting on sports, they're also using, you know, the roulette tables, the slots and stuff, so that brings additional revenue. So those are some of the things that we've been dealing with in the committee. Also, the life sciences industry is a huge employer in Massachusetts, and they're projecting to add about another 40 to 50,000 jobs over the next 10 years. So we've been trying to work with the industry on how do we fill those jobs. Everyone thinks it has to be a PhD, but there's some really good lab tech jobs that pay $80,000, $90,000 a year, and all they really need is a certificate or you know, not even a bachelor's degree for some of these really good paying jobs, and they're short of people. So we've been working with them to try to figure out how to fill that job gap. And I think that community colleges can play a big role in that. So that's one of the focuses that we have on the committee as well.
Yeah, that we just did an interview with one of the guys over at North Shore Community College on the on their computer technology, cybersecurity thing, but not totally unrelated to what you're talking about, because there are solid jobs in these industries that don't necessarily have to have a PhD. That's a good point. And though obviously the life sciences is a very big area where employment just will be continuing and probably just keep growing, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, like you take a company like Moderna that, you know, was one of the companies that helped develop the COVID vaccine, which is based in Massachusetts, and they do the research here, but they also do the manufacturing. So, you know, the manufacturing jobs are good paying jobs. But you do have to have those smart PhDs to develop the science, but then you have to have all the support staff to either, you know, assemble the product or do the lab tech work. And you know, they're telling us that right now it's a little bit of a challenge to get people to fill those positions. And the computer, yeah, and you just mentioned cybersecurity is a huge growing field as well, and the community colleges are stepping up to help with that. So those are the kind of things that we want to make sure that we can try to keep Massachusetts in the lead. 18 out of the 20 largest biopharmacy companies in the United States are based in Massachusetts. So we're a leader in that field, and we want to keep it that way.
Jerry, I am not a betting person, but you're talking about jobs. Has the sports betting bill, do you think, driven any bookies out of their jobs that were?
I was worried about that. some rejob training for them if need be. I got a feeling that they're probably still doing all right. They don't pay any taxes, so.
All right, so they might, you know, they're kind of under the radar screen of the of your joint committee, if you will. Yeah. Yeah, you know, now that you mention it too, Jerry, you know, as disappointed as we are when the Bruins and Celtics lose, like they did this year in particular, but that if they keep going, that means money in our state pockets, and that's money that maybe I'm not paying as a taxpayer. Who knows? I mean, I will now look at it in a totally different way, rooting for these teams to keep winning in a much harder way, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the Commonwealth got some money for me because I had the Bruins and Celtics in a parlay to win it all. So I've helped the Commonwealth with its budget. But yeah, it does. So like a good chunk of that money goes back to the cities and towns, about almost 30%, and about roughly 40% goes back to the state general fund. So yeah, this can help fill those budget gaps and, you know, bring in additional revenue. Before we legalized sports betting, it was legal in New Hampshire and Rhode Island, and you know, a lot of Massachusetts folks were taking that trip, either up to Seabrook or down to Rhode Island. And DraftKings estimated that in the last Super Bowl, prior to our legalizing it, roughly 40% of the bets in New Hampshire were from Massachusetts residents. So now we get those folks, you know, either coming from New Hampshire down to us, or our folks are staying here. So now we're retaining that revenue.
Are there, were you alluding to any tweaks in the legislation, you know, that you're discussing, or is that, or are we pretty well set for right now with what we currently have?
Yeah, I mean, I think there won't be any major changes at this point. There's been some discussion about having sports books at the different arenas, like at Fenway Park, at Boston Garden, places like that. Some states do that. But I think at this point, you know, since it's fairly new, I think we're going to kind of see how it plays out at this point before we make any big changes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Jerry, is there anything else as far as the bills that, well, you mentioned bills coming before your committee, but any bills that you've sponsored, or any notes that you want to share with us on any other legislation that you're working on?
Yeah, I think one good thing that that we did recently, and you know, as you know, I'm serving in the military as well, is we did a really good bill that helps out families of National Guard members. So if you serve in the National Guard in Massachusetts, you can go to any state school for free tuition while you're serving. So that's really helps with recruiting. But because the National Guard got so overburdened during COVID, I mean, they were doing everything from driving buses to working in nursing homes to hospitals. They were called up a lot in the last few years, and it put a lot of strain on them. So we're worried about, you know, people leaving the National Guard. So now National Guard members can transfer that education benefit to their dependents, so to their children, their spouse. So we think that's going to not only attract people to join the Guard, but also keep people in. And so that's one of the benefits that probably a lot of people don't know about. But Tix, Massachusetts is one of the leaders in supporting our troops. And it's a great benefit. So, you know, you can have family members now go to any state school, whether it be Salem State or UMass or North Shore, tuition free. So, you know, that's one of the things that I'm really happy that we worked on recently and it became law.
You know, and I've got to ask you this, Jerry. I understand that you have recently retired from the reserves. So you will not be able to take advantage of that benefit, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm out now. It's after 29 years, but, you know, it's been a great ride. But I still do have the federal GI Bill that I can transfer to my daughter. So,
So
I'm not totally out of the loop on that. But, yeah, that specific benefit. I won't be able to take advantage of, but hey, I'm glad it helps other folks.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Jerry, anything else you do want to share with us as far as information at the State House or back in Beverly or Wenham?
You know, I'm hear a lot about the tea from folks, and I'm happy with the new general manager that the governor hired. We've chatted, and you know, Beverly, as you know, has four commuter rail stops, and before the pandemic, over 2,000 people were taking commuter rail each day from Beverly, so that's something we really have to take care of. We have to fix that situation. The traffic is terrible now. People can't really rely on the T, so I think that's something that, you know, we're going to have a lot of focus on in the next, you know, couple of years to try to get this back on track, literally and figuratively, you know. It's important, and people need to have a reliable public transportation.
You know, I live near a, I mean, I go by sometimes a parking lot for the T, and I'm not seeing cars there. I mean, there were no cars there during the pandemic, and I'm thinking that there still aren't a lot of cars. So I got to think that the T rail service ridership must be down. You know more than I would, but is that the case?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely down. It's probably about 50%. That garage used to fill up by 8 a.m. every day. I heard the complaints were that there wasn't any parking. Mm. And now, like you mentioned, there's plenty of parking there. So people, and the thing is, you know, people will sometimes, you know, people who are working in Boston aren't working 5 days a week in Boston for the most part. You know, they're doing remote maybe Monday and Friday. So so a lot of them are just saying, heck it, I'm not buying the T-Pass. You know, I'll drive in and maybe they'll hop on the train once or 2 days a week. So the T's got to come up with different ways of thinking of getting people on the train, whether it be not requiring a monthly pass, you know, having a reduced rate, things like that, that can get people back on the train.
Yeah, well, that makes huge sense, absolutely. Well, Jerry, we appreciate you taking some time to join us, share some of this insight, all this information, and hopefully we can talk again a little sooner than between our last two phone calls here. So hopefully we can talk again soon.
Sounds great. Appreciate it.
Yeah, take care. Jerry Parasella, State Representative, City of Beverly, and half of the town of Wenham here with us on MSONewsSports.com.